Hello and welcome on this good Lord's Day, July 21st, 2024. This will be our last review of chapter 13 in the book of Revelation. This is part 3. And let me begin with an introduction, reviewing what we learned in our last review of chapter 13. And then we'll go into three major points in this particular study that are very encouraging. Well, let's begin. This message will be our last review, as I said, of Revelation chapter 13. We already went through review parts 1 and part 2, and this last review of chapter 13, therefore, will be part 3. In our last review of Revelation 13 part 2 that you can click on to be refreshed of, we focused on three major things. The beast making fire come down out of heaven into the earth in the sight of human beings, the churchgoers making of an image to the beast, and the mark of the beast. The beast making fire come down out of heaven into the earth, we were reminded, had to do with the supernatural making of people to fall backward in the corporate Christian church. And you can click on Revelation 13, 13, parts 1, then 2, and 3 to be refreshed of all of that if you need be. We found that the term fire simply symbolizes judgment. So, the beast calling down fire, that is judgment, from heaven during the Great Tribulation is like what God did to Judas Iscariot and the other wicked men who came to seize Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In that account of John 18, 2 through 6, that you can click on, then scroll down to page 9 to begin reading, God made all those wicked men who came to seize Jesus to fall backward to the ground to show that even though they would be allowed to seize the Christ, they were being judged by God for doing so. God's supernatural making people to fall backward, therefore, is the calling down fire, judgment from heaven. And since this making of people to fall backward in Revelation 13:13 is said to take place on the earth, more literally it says into the earth, in the sight of human beings, and we were reminded that the earth spiritually symbolizes the church. And you can click on Revelation 13:8 to scroll down to page 4 and begin reading at the last paragraph to be reminded of that. This making of people to fall backward is what we saw become so prominent in many of the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 as this phenomena traveled from one church to another like wildfire. And because this making of people to fall backward in the churches became such a big phenomenon during the Great Tribulation, that the biblical timeline of history that you can click on revealed would be exactly from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. The biblical timeline was even further validated to be accurate, as we already knew it was from all the other proofs and evidence for its accuracy that you can click on and see all those evidences and proofs. Another major thing in our past Revelation review part 2 that we were reminded of had to do with the churchgoers making of an image or idol to the beast in response to the wonders or miracles that it did, such as healings, counterfeit salvations, the making of fire, that is judgment, come down from heaven, which is the making of churchgoers to fall backward, and the supposed direct revelations or the supposed direct revelations, that is, from God, apart from Scripture and dreams, visions, voices, so-called words of knowledge, prophesying, tongues, writings, or the like. The image or idol that the churchgoers made in order to worship the beast was not something material, such as metal, earth, or stone, but it was and continues to be their false belief or notion that the God who did and continues to do all these miracles or wonders and rules in their church is the true Christ, when in fact it is the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the devil itself. And you can click on Revelation 13:14 to be reminded of that. Thus, the Christian churchgoers have been worshiping a counterfeit God without even realizing it. And this is God's judgment against them because they did not love the truth but a lie. So God has fed them the very strong lie that Christ is ruling over their churches, when the truth is that Satan is ruling over them without them even knowing it. Then, the third and last major teaching we were reminded of in our last message of Revelation chapter 13 review, part 2, was the mark of the beast. Unlike what most Christians believe, we found that the mark of the beast was already given during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to the beginning of the many days of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. And it was given to all the counterfeit Christians who now fill the churches. The true Christians had already followed Christ and the Holy Spirit to depart out from all the churches by May 21, 2011. And we were reminded that this mark of the beast is nothing material or physical, such as a social security number, branding of some kind, computer chip, or vaccine passport, but it is an invisible and spiritual mark that simply identifies all those who were given it as being ruled over by who? And servants of the beast, namely of the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin, the little horn, and the abomination of desolation, the devil itself. See Revelation 13:16 that you can click on to be reminded of that. Indeed, the devil had been freed from the pit that he was bound in at the cross for 1,000 years. The number 1,000 simply symbolic of the completeness of years, not to be taken literal. On May 21, 1988, to bring about the Great Tribulation, he was bound at the cross for a symbolic 1,000 years that ended on May 21, 1988, to bring about the Great Tribulation and God's judgment against his corporate Christian church. For the final judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17, and God used Satan, the greatest Antichrist, to bring all that about. Furthermore, in our same last review of Revelation 13, part 2, we once again mentioned what it meant that only those who had received the mark of the beast could buy or sell. It means that during the Great Tribulation, and even to this very day, only the counterfeit Christians have been able to proclaim and teach their false gospels and teachings in the Christian churches. On the other hand, the true Christians were spiritually killed, that is, silenced, in the churches during the Great Tribulation, as Revelation 18:8 that you can click on says, and their dead bodies lied in the street of the great city. The great city is Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem points to, symbolizes the corporate Christian church, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt. during the Great Tribulation, where also our Lord was crucified. You see, our Lord was not only physically crucified in the old earthly Jerusalem on the Passover of 33 AD, but he was also spiritually crucified or killed along with his own people. They were silenced in the new earthly Jerusalem, the corporate Christian church. In other words, God's true people, who are the only ones that do not have the mark of the beast, have been spiritually killed, that is, silenced from being able to bring or receive the true gospel and teachings, especially those teachings for the latter days, into the Christian churches. This means that God's true people are not able to buy and or sell in the Christian churches because they do not have the mark of the beast. In the Bible, you see, buying and selling spiritually has to do with receiving and bringing of the teachings of God's Word, the Bible. So if you are not allowed to freely receive or bring God's truth or Word in the Bible, then in the language of Revelation 13, you are not able to buy or sell. But if you are able to freely receive and bring God's word or truth into the Christian churches, especially those truths for the latter days that we have been in ever since 1988, then you are able to buy and sell. And you must therefore have the mark of the beast. But since God's true people or prophets have not been permitted to ongoingly proclaim, that is, sell, nor receive, that is, buy, the end time truth and many other truths for that matter, without being soon silenced in some way, they have not been able to buy or sell in the Christian churches. And you can click on Revelation 13, 17, parts 1 and 2, to be reminded of all that. Now, with that quick review on what we covered last time in Revelation 13 Review Part 2, let's look at just three more last things that we had learned in Revelation 13. Most of the things in that chapter were very discouraging for God's church to be destroyed by the beast and for salvation to have ended in the church, so that no one could be saved in the church during the Great Tribulation. All those things are negative things. But in this last review of chapter 13 of Revelation, there are very encouraging things for us to know. First, remember what we read in verses 9 through 10 in Revelation chapter 13? If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. We had learned from verse 9, which states, if any man have an ear, let him hear, that Jesus often said this when he was about to or already did say something that not only had a deeper spiritual meaning than what was just on the surface, but it was also something that Christ really wanted his true people to pay careful attention to. You can click on Revelation 13:9 for that information. And so what God really wants us to know is what we read in verse 10, which states, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, if we can remember, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword, refers to the beast. during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to the beginning of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, the beast, that is Satan, used his demons to work through counterfeit Christians in the Christian church to spiritually lead them into spiritual captivity under the rule of the counterfeit Christ. The Antichrist, that most Christians are still falsely awaiting to come, he already came in the church. He's also called the man of sin, the little horn, and the abomination of desolation. Satan himself, without all the counterfeit Christians that now fill all the churches even knowing it. And you can click on Revelation 13:10 to be reminded of all that. The elect, on the other hand, eventually followed Christ and the Holy Spirit to depart out from all the Christian churches to escape the spiritual plagues coming upon the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation. Then, we had learned that at the same time that the beast, that is Satan, his demons, and the counterfeit Christians, led the corporate Christian church into complete spiritual captivity under its rule by September 7th, 1994 of the Great Tribulation, it, that is the beast, was also being led into captivity based upon the Greek verbs in use being in the indicative mood, active voice, and present tense, which unfortunately the authorized version of the King James Bible did not so literally translate. And you can click on Revelation 13:10 to be reminded of that, then scroll down to page 2 and begin reading at the last paragraph. Isn't it wonderful that we can always look back at the original Greek and Hebrew language to better understand a verse, because there is no perfect English translation of the Bible, but there are some much better English translations than others. The authorized version of the King James Bible is one of those much better translations, so we will always begin our studies with it, even though I believe there are some other good English translations as well. But now, how was the beast being led into captivity at the same time it led the Christian churches into captivity during the Great Tribulation? As we know, the beast being Satan, as it and its demons worked through the counterfeit Christians in the church, this made its demons and the counterfeit Christians two other parts, if you will, of the beast. And the counterfeit Christians that were a part of the beast were led captive in that they had no more possibility of becoming eternally saved, whereas Satan and his demons were led captive because they knew that as they were leading the Christian church captive during the Great Tribulation, they were also coming closer and closer to May 21, 2011, when they would be dethroned along with the devil. But they were probably not aware that they would then be used by Christ under his rule with a rod of iron to continue bringing his judgment against the Christian church and the world. So in a real way, as the beast was released from the pit by God on May 21, 1988, to lead the corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches, into captivity under its complete rule by the time of September 7, 1994, as God's judgment against them. For judgment had to begin with the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. At the same time, the beast, Satan, his demons, and the counterfeit Christians, was being led into captivity as well. And the beast is still being led captive as it now awaits its relatively soon complete destruction on the last day. But our verse also states, he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. This, we had learned, means that as the beast used the very word of God, that is the sword, for its own evil purposes to spiritually kill those in the Christian churches by leading them into false gospels, teachings, or spirits with the help of wonders or miracles to validate its counterfeit gospels, even as the true gospel was similarly validated by miracles in the first century A.D., the beast was also being killed by the sword as the elect declared God's word of judgment against the Christian churches and against Satan and his demons. That there was no longer any possibility for eternal salvation in the Christian churches and Satan's rule over the world and the church that he had been granted by God to bring God's judgment against it would soon come to an end on May 21, 2011. For Christ then dethroned Satan and began to rule over the whole world with a rod of iron to bring his judgment against it. Nevertheless, Christ continues to use the devil to bring his judgment against the Christian churches until on the relatively soon to come last day, the devil and his demons and all the counterfeit Christians that now fill the Christian churches will be destroyed forever according to the word of God, the sword that is wielded by the saints of God. Thus, the beast that is killing with the sword is also being killed by the sword. Then, after all this, the next thing God says is, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That is, after we read, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. We are told that that is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, the fact that the beast led the Christian churches into captivity under the rule of the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the devil himself, and that the beast spiritually killed the Christian churches with the sword of God's word by using the sword by its own evil purposes to blaspheme, deceive, and cause all those in the Christian churches to worship it and follow counterfeit gospels, Christ's teachings, traditions, or spirits. Nevertheless, at the same time, the beast itself was led into captivity by its counterfeit Christians in the church, having no more possibility for eternal salvation, as well as by Satan and his demons, being dethroned on May 21, 2011. And the beast itself having been being killed by the sword of God's word, as God's elect have been using that sword of God's word to declare God's eternal judgment upon all the counterfeit Christians that now fill the Christian churches, as well as having declared God's dethroning of Satan on May 21, 2011, and his final destruction on the relatively soon to come last day of the many days of judgment day that we are now in, likely any day now up to as late as about 2035 A.D. Some say it will occur during the Feast of Tabernacles of 2026 A.D. Others say 2034 A.D. But we would be wise to prepare ourselves for any day now. We know it is quite nearby. So, although the beast, that is, Satan, as its ruling part, appears to be winning by having led the church into captivity and spiritually having killed them with the sword of God's word, it is at the same time losing, as it was dethroned by Christ on May 21, 2011, and it will soon be destroyed forever on the last day. This is the patience and the faith of the saints, because although Satan, the counterfeit Christ, the beast and antichrist, also known as the man of sin, the little horn and the abomination of desolation, was granted great power during the great tribulation to destroy and rule over God's own corporate church on this earth, which includes all the Christian denominations and churches worldwide, except for, of course, his eternal church, namely we, who had long since departed out from all the Christian churches. Satan was dethroned, and Satan will, in the near future, be utterly destroyed forever. Yes, this is the patience of we, the saints or elect, for no matter how bad it gets due to the devil and his wicked or unsaved people, we can have patience. And that word patience could also be translated as endurance to the very end, because the sword of God's word that we declare says that the devil, in the end, loses the battle against us and is destroyed forever. And this sword of God's word is our faith, as well as our patience or endurance, because it is what we believe. The devil loses. We win. This is the patience or endurance and the faith of the saints. Let us rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory in so great a salvation, as we praise and worship our great God, Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from his love, not even death, if indeed we were born from above as a gift of his grace alone, and not by works, lest anyone should boast. Now, the second of the 3 points to be made in our final review of Revelation chapter 13 comes from the last verse of the chapter, verse 18. It reads, "Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. That's 666. Remember what we had learned when we counted or calculated the number of the beast, which is 666? We found that 666 is 2/3 of God's number for the completeness of whatever is in view, the number 1,000. You can click on Bible number 1,000 to see that. And 2/3 has great significance in the Holy Scriptures. We read in Zechariah 13, verses 8 through 9. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land," and the land there is the land of Judah and Jerusalem, which typifies or represents the Christian church, saith the Lord, "two parts or 2/3 therein shall be cut off and die, but the third or 1/3 shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, 'It is my people,' and they shall say, 'The Lord is my God.'" Notice that 2/3 of the people identify with those who will be cut off and die from the land. Now, that's not a literal 2/3. Okay? It doesn't mean that 2/3 of all God's people will be cut off. 2/3 is just identifies with all those who are unsaved, while 1/3 identifies with those who will be saved, in that Yahweh will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And in that Yahweh says of them further, "They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, 'It is my people,' and they shall say, 'The Lord is my God.'" Makes it clear that the third part identifies with those who are being saved by Yahweh. They are the eternal Christian church, So the number one-third identifies with those being saved, while the number two-thirds identifies with those being destroyed, the unsaved. And once again, this doesn't mean that one-third of all those who claim to be Christian are going to be saved. One-third is just symbolic of those who are being saved, which is only but a remnant. And two-thirds represents all those who are unsaved. One-third identifies with all those who are saved, and two-thirds identifies with those being destroyed. Thus, in counting or calculating the number of the beast, we had come up with the number two-thirds. This simply means that the beast is of the unsaved, and so it will be cut off. And once again, we know that this beast, Satan, the counterfeit Christ, who is the Antichrist, will, like all the other unsaved beings, be completely destroyed and cut off on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, which is nearer than it has ever been. Indeed, in this we can once again rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Satan and all his wickedness are about to be eliminated to never be remembered ever again. This is good news from God, indeed. And now the third and final point to be made in this final review of Revelation chapter 13 comes from the very first verse of the chapter, which reads, And that's the Apostle John, stood upon the sand of the sea. Remember that first verse? Remember what the deeper spiritual meaning is to that statement? The Apostle John, being one of the apostles, represents or stands for all the elect or saints of God throughout history. Therefore, when John says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea," it is as if all God's elect or saints stood upon the sand of the sea as well. And for the sake of some Catholics that might be reading or listening to this, the true saints are not those who the Catholic Church has deemed to be saints, but they are all true believers in the true Christ. For according to God, a saint can only be a person that is perfect or absolutely sinless. And there is no Catholic that has ever been perfect or sinless in this life, except all those for whom Christ died, only the elect or saints, who as a result then became born from above at some point in their lives by the time God's judgment day came upon the whole world beginning on May 21, 2011. Because Christ bore all their sins in his body on the cross, only they are and can be accounted to be saints by God, for only they have had their sins paid for, so that they are accounted by God to be sinless, even though they are not yet sinless, but will be made sinless only on the last day. Indeed, Christ took on their sins upon himself as the sacrificial Lamb of God to be punished in their place and on their behalf with death for their sins to fulfill the law, which says the wages of sin is death. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory." So all deserve death. And again, Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And as a third witness, Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a man, there is not a just man upon the earth that does good and sins not." Thus, because all God's elect or saints have had all their sins paid for, and that includes all their past, present, and future sins, the law has been satisfied, and they can no longer be condemned like all the rest, who Christ did not eternally die for, and who have not, therefore, been born from above at the hand of God alone by May 21, 2011. No, according to God and the law, we, the elect or saints, are now accounted sinless and perfectly righteous. Saints by calling, by His grace, and the only true saints on the planet. Because in the eyes of God, only we meet the requirement of being absolutely perfect or sinless, even though at this time, only our souls are perfect and not yet our bodies. Nevertheless, our bodies will soon be made perfect on the last day when the seed of these bodies will be transformed to bloom into glorious bodies fit to live forever in the new heaven and earth. But the Catholic doctrine of salvation is not by grace alone. They don't understand salvation, but by grace plus their works, they think. You can click on Catholicism for more details about Catholicism. So they think one can become saved and a saint by grace and works as judged by the Catholic Church, which is not possible because no one, even with grace, except Christ, of course, will ever have all perfect and sinless works on this earth, though this is a requirement of God to be a saint. Only Christ had perfect and sinless works on this earth, and not Mary also, by the way. And we, the true elect and saints of God, have Christ's righteousness freely accounted to us as a gift, so that according to the law and the eyes of God, our works are perfect and sinless, even though they are not. Yes, we are the only true saints, not by our own works by any means, but by the perfect and sinless works of Christ alone on the cross for us, and by His perfect sinlessness being freely accounted to us by the law and God. For all our sins have been covered and paid for to make us sinless before the law and before God. Otherwise, how could we even be in God's presence? For He is so holy and a consuming fire. And unless we were accounted to be sinless or perfect as He is, we would be consumed instantly by His holy and righteous presence. Well, we strayed somewhat from our topic, which is the deeper meaning to verse 1 of Revelation chapter 13. Again, when the Apostle John says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea," he means all God's elect or saints stood upon the sand of the sea as well. For John, as an apostle, represents all the elect or saints, even as Adam, in a similar way, represented every human being. So that when Adam sinned in the garden, in the beginning, it was that all human beings sinned. And, for another example, Christ, the second Adam, represented all His saints or elect, so that when He died, and on the third day rose from the dead, it guaranteed that all His elect or saints for whom He had died would also be resurrected. First, spiritually, by being born from above with a new soul, a perfect soul, and then bodily on the last day of the world and the last day of judgment day that we are now in, to be fully perfected and made absolutely sinless in body. But now, what did we learn is meant by the sand of the sea that we, the elect or saints, stood upon according to our verse? Remember, the sea symbolizes all the unsaved people or the world. And you can click on Revelation 13:1 to be reminded of that with the verses that show that. and the sand of the sea, therefore, must symbolize the great multitude of the unsaved people in the world. Each grain of sand represents one unsaved individual. So all the grains of the sand of the sea are a very great multitude of unsaved people in the world. Now, we can know the deeper meaning to what John says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." It means that we, the elect or saints, stood upon the world or all the unsaved people in the world before the great tribulation even began. And in that we stood upon it or them means that the whole world and all the unsaved people in the world are under our feet. And because we stand upon it or them, it means that we have conquered it or them. We are the victors in Christ Jesus. Because Christ had overcome the world by his death and resurrection, we too have overcome the world in Christ Jesus. This is why Christ said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That is, we can be of good cheer and rejoice because Christ overcame the world. And if we are in Christ, we therefore have also overcome the world. And we spiritually stand upon the world or all the unsaved people in the world as conquerors and victors over them, as well as Satan and his demons, sin and death. So once again, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even though the devil was granted so much power and strength during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011 to be able to gain rule over and spiritually destroy God's church as God's judgment against them, and even though the devil was dethroned by Christ when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, and this devil has been permitted by Christ to continue bringing God's judgment against the Christian church and the whole world, before the devil would be allowed to rule over and spiritually destroy the church by the use of its demons and counterfeit Christians, we were told in verse 1 of Revelation 13, before we had to hear all this stuff of the power of Satan supposedly destroying the Christian church and spiritually killing the elect, we're told right up front, before all of that, that we, God's elect or saints, also called the two witnesses of Revelation 13 that you can click on to see the believers, the saved, the chosen, the beloved, little children and other names as well, stood upon the sand of the sea. In Christ, we already conquered the whole world. The devil and his demons, all the counterfeit Christians, and all the other unsaved people in the world. What an encouragement to us. Satan may have appeared to be winning during the Great Tribulation and even today, but the truth is, Satan already lost at the cross. The way Satan has been and is now being used is simply a part of God's judgment plan, and God reminds us of that in the first verse of Revelation 13 that has everything to do with the Great Tribulation when Satan was granted so much power. What a loving and encouraging God that we serve for him to tell us this up front. The devil does not stand on us, but we in Christ stand on the sand of the sea. We stand on the devil and this whole world of unsaved people who have been ruled over by the devil. This has been true even since God's death and resurrection for us. Rejoice! Again, I say rejoice. Well, in this final review of Revelation 13, part 3, we were greatly encouraged. Even though the beast that Satan was the ruling part of took the Christian church captive as it ruled over them during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And as the ruling part of the beast, Satan used the very word of God, that is the spiritual sword, to spiritually kill the Christian churches and even God's elect in the churches by silencing them until the elect finally departed out. Satan was at the same time being led captive to be finally dethroned on May 21, 2011, being now held captive by Christ to do his bidding and continuing to bring his judgment. And as the beast that Satan was the ruling part of spiritually killed the Christian churches, and we, God's elect, by the sword of God's word, Satan has been therefore being killed by the sword of God's word, as God's elect use it to proclaim the relatively soon destruction of Satan on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. This is the patience and faith of the saints, of us. Patience because we, the saints, can be patient, knowing that Satan will ultimately lose the battle against us. And this is our faith because this is what the Word of God teaches that circumscribes our faith. Then we were reminded in verse 18 of Revelation 13 that when we had counted the number of the beast, 666, by realizing that 666 is two-thirds of God's number for completeness, namely 1,000, and we then looked up the number two-thirds, or two parts in the Bible, we discovered that two-thirds symbolizes all the unsaved. All the unsaved who would be cut off or destroyed forever. And since we found this number two-thirds in calculating the number of the beast, revealed also that it, Satan, his demons, and the counterfeit Christians, would be cut off and destroyed forever on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. Once again, we were greatly encouraged and can rejoice with joy unspeakable. And finally, in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 13, we were reminded that when the Apostle John said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea," to begin revealing all the terrible things that the devil would do to God's church and the saints or elect during the Great Tribulation, it was meant to remind us that we, God's true people, had really already conquered Satan and the whole unsaved world, for we stood and still stand in Christ upon the whole unsaved world, which includes Satan, symbolized in that John stood upon the sand of the sea. Indeed, we were already victors through the death and resurrection of Christ. So although God let Satan loose to do great damage during the Great Tribulation, it was an absolutely terrible time, and it still is, because Satan's still being permitted, even though he was dethroned on May 21, 2000, he's still being permitted by God. God is still using him as an instrument of his wrath by letting him continue in the churches to destroy them and in the world to bring judgment against them. Even though that's the case, God reminded us right up front in verse 1 of Revelation 13, which chapter reveals that Satan would, what he would do during the Great Tribulation, that we had already overcome the world and Satan's sin and death at the cross, to give us great encouragement. Great encouragement. so that for the third time in this final review of Revelation chapter 13, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee to the uttermost. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee great, eternal peace.